think of life without music? Silence the whole day long. Ears that don't hear rhythm. Words without a song. Just don't know what to do. How could I live out my day? Would I be getting up, pushing my life away? When the drums come calling, the bass line pulls you in.
You got Robin Lynn, keeping the vibes live. I'm here with the Vibes Live exclusive, and tonight we are discussing how COVID-19 impacts the music business and the entertainment business. I have on tonight, we have musical guest Mark Henderson, jazz trumpeter, and Omega Auntie Mothersill of Women in Business Online Pageant. Hi, Mark. How you doing tonight?
Good, Robin. Thank you.
And Omega, how are you today?
I am absolutely fabulous. Good evening, everyone. Hey, Mark. Hey, Ms.
Hey, Omega.
How's everybody?
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I want to thank you both for taking the time out to discuss a very important topic. This COVID-19 is having a very deep impact, and I just want to do a sound check really quick. Edwin Douglas, if you're on the line and if you're listening, please respond and tell me if you can hear me. Text me back if you can hear me. I don't know if I'm being heard or not. Okay, so anyway... the COVID-19 has had a very devastating, it's been a, yeah, can you hear me? Edwin, I need you to tell me, can you hear me? Can you hear me, yes or no? Okay, very good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, last week we had a snafu. So anyway, COVID-19, the music industry has been hit very hard by coronavirus, with live performance revenue, they say, being the biggest casualty. And then it's been about 6 months since we've been in the shutdown now, and it's estimated to cost the industry more than $10 billion in sponsorships alone. So, Omega, what would you have to say about that?
Oh, about how COVID-19 has hit us?
Yeah. How has it impacted you as an entertainer?
Well, I'm in the pageant entertainment business and fashion show industry, and because I have a plus-size modeling business, 3D plus modeling, and I have a pageant, WBLEP, and I have had to postpone shows, and I've had to cancel or postpone, shall I say, my pageant until March of 2021. And it normally happens every year at Labor Day weekend in September. So it definitely has impacted me in the sense that I cannot hold or attend larger functions with more than 10 people. And, of course, you know, any kind of pageant or fashion show, you're going to have more than 10 people.
Oh, wow. So that's it in your pocket. What about you, Mark?
5 years. I cut all my live performances out of the picture. So basically, I did something, though, over the past 3 or 4 years, I've did something that I never did before, and that was I became a street performer. And there's all kinds of reasons why I never did it before, but actually it's worked out quite well for me. The only problem with being a street performer, I can go out with a trumpet, or in my case, a flugelhorn, take a flugelhorn out and go find a spot that's got good sound outside from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. every night. And I can get in great jazz trumpet practice and make some money. So I've been doing that, but the problem is conditions. You're at the mercy of the sun and the wind and the rain. Even worse, noise complaints. I had a real good thing going in downtown Miami doing this for like 3 months, but I had one noise complaint and I knew where that was going to go, so I had to abandon that. And actually, that really hurt me, for not only in the pocketbook, but, you know, musically, it really hurt me. Because to find a spot that's got great acoustics, you know, and that, that the vibe is there. So a lot of places you can't play. There's no vibe to play. But I don't know how the COVID would have affected that this year. But I stopped doing it in December before the COVID lockdown came in, like early March or late February. So. You know, but I wasn't, my whole plan when I came down to Miami like 4 or 5 years ago was not to play in bars and restaurants and clubs and hotels. I've done that for several decades. You know, my plan was actually, you know, to get into the recording industry, you know, and, you know, get my CD business, my record, get that out in the universe and get that released. But all my friends... 99% of my friends are all professional musicians. They do play in bars and clubs and restaurants around the world. And, of course, for them, all their business was gone. They immediately went online. They immediately started doing classes online or whatever gigs that they could online. But I don't know. It's like I don't think that's worked out at all. That's, you know, because they didn't sustain it. So I don't think it's worked at all. You know, trying to do gigs, you know, online. It's I know that everybody went there right away, especially for lessons. But I don't think it's worked at all, and I think that their income has been gone by 100%. And you've probably seen, you know, if you're in the music industry, like I am, and 70% of my friends are in the industry. DJs, musicians, they've suffered tremendously to the point of, you know, depression and you know, all those suicidal thoughts. So it's taken an impact. Hell yeah. And right now, over the past, few weeks or several weeks, they've tried to come back and, you know, people are, you know, playing on stage with face masks on, especially in Asia. And it's, you know, it's like sex with a condom. It's, you know, it's not the real deal.
How can you blow a horn with the mask on? How can you blow your trumpet?
I imagine you'd slit a hole in it. Yeah, you'd slit a hole. Especially rhythm players that don't sing a lot. But basically it's the same thing, right? You blow, and when you're not blowing, the mask is back on.
Okay. So, Omega, tell us about Women in Business Online Pageant, please.
Well, because of COVID-19, guys, I made an executive decision to move my actual live pageant to March, and it sparked me to create an online pageant almost identical to what I would be doing at my live pageant. So Women in Business Online Pageant is a pageant for women that own their own business. You know, they have their own business, and they're able to compete for a title. And four divisions, we have the MISS, that's for the ladies that are 19 to 29. We have the MS division, those are the ladies that are 30 and older, because I don't want a 19-year-old or competing against a 60-year-old that's more seasoned in business. Then we have the Vision for Married Ladies, MRS, for those that are married, 20 and older. And we have an international business division for those ladies that live outside of the continental USA. And they compete in 6 different areas. They have to do a live video, a video presentation, uploaded to YouTube. That's one area of competition worth 25% of your score. They also have to do a panel interview live on Zoom with a panel of judges. 5 to 7 minutes talking about their business and their community involvement. 20% of your score. The third area of competition is an essay, a 200 to 300 word essay. We give you a question, and you have to answer that question in essay form. And that's 20% of your score. Now, the fourth area is very important to me because I feel like every woman in business should have a professional headshot. And that's one of the areas that in the entertainment business, especially for pageant, where a photo is extremely important. So the fourth area of competition is a professional headshot, 15% of the score. And we still want it to be pageantry. So the fifth area is a glamour shot in an evening gown or a dress you can't wear, because we still want to have that pageant element. So dressy pant or evening gown, 10% of your score. And the only actual live that you will be doing in front of someone is your introduction. And that's when you state your name, your business name, the nature of your business, and a cause that you champion, be it cancer, childhood obesity, or whatever, because we definitely want our queens to be involved in their communities. So 10% of your score. But those are the 6 areas of competition. It's all going to be done live via Zoom on October the 10th of this year.
Wow. Congratulations.
That was a way for me to, you know, still allow the ladies to have a pageant experience without leaving their home.
Wow. That's awesome. The global music industry is worth over $50 billion, and with 2 major income streams, the first being live music, making up over 50% of total revenues, and that's derived mainly from sales of tickets to live performances. The second, recorded music, combines revenue from streaming, digital downloads, physical sales, and synchronization revenues, licensing for music, licensing of music for movies, games, TV, and advertising. So, what do you say about the shift to digital, Mark?
What's on my mind right now is YouTube, and how I've noticed that, especially during the lockdown, that I believe viewership is up. And so everybody that's already up and running, I spend a lot of time studying on YouTube. So there's reaction videos, people that, that play records and react to them, that kind of thing. And also for my own entertainment, I watch like scary videos. Guys are reacting to ghost videos and stuff like that. But right now, YouTube, it appears to be that the people that have already been settling in on YouTube and have gotten their subscription level up, have gotten higher, and I've noticed that they're spending less and less time at their day job and much more time creating new videos, and they're getting the views. So that for me, you know, that part is very interesting. Of course, the synchronization part, where people that you have the ability to write movie scores TV work. That is a bit more, way far off. You have to be way more deeper into the network with studios and movie directors, and movie studios to get in there. And yeah, that movies are still coming out. Yeah, not at the same rate. TV commercials are still getting made. So there is some recording work, but generally that side of studio work is for the people that have already been set up in there. For people that are on the outside coming in, now you're pretty far down on the food chain for that. But YouTube appears to be very attractive for people, especially the people that are already setting up there and have got some followership going.
Wow. Okay, now you are a musician, so tell us, your trumpeter, is that the only instrument that you play?
It's my major instrument, but like a symphony conductor, an orchestra conductor. He might be a violinist, he might be a pianist, he might be able to play several instruments, but the orchestra is an instrument for him. The composer's work, if he wrote it or not, that is another instrument. For me, I'm a band leader. I'm not interested in playing guitar or keyboards or drums or congas or singing lead. I'm interested in hiring the correct people for the correct job to get that done. You see what I'm saying? So the band is trumpet is my major instrument, but leading bands, I'm a band leader. As a band leader, the band is my instrument.
Mm-hmm.
I use keyboards just to compose with, because I can't write tracks with just the trumpet. You know, you got to flush out those chords. Got to come from somewhere. So the piano, and as well as it brings me deeper into the music, and it's for my own entertainment and my own education. For lack of a better word, it helps me to get deeper into the music, and it's fun for me too. It's very interesting. Music theory is I studied it for several years, and it's very beautiful. It's very satisfying to be able to write a melody and then flush it out with chords. It's very interesting, and to watch the arrangement grow. I say, you know, Pablo Picasso, he said once, he's alluding to a system. So he said, look, once I have the basic idea, the germ or the theme of the project set up, then after that, technique takes over. So in a way, once I have a melody that comes to my mind that I think is worth keeping, then after that, technique takes the song will as soon as the more that I get the chords accurate, a chord system that works for the song, for that melody, the arrangement, what does the drummer do? What does the bass player do? What do the strings do? What do the horns do? What do the vocals do? All those problems solve themselves. So it's quite interesting, the process. And how once you get it in your soul, it takes a lot of pressure off you.
Wow, amazing. We're going to take a quick musical break. We're going to listen to a track from your upcoming album, Jazz Father.
So does the script evolve? Jazz Father. Old school motherfucker. The FOGs, this is how we keep it in Hong Kong. This one's for the FOGs, father figures who created this shit. This is why I shoot the breeze, respect to the brothers with the history. The players like they're gonna play, Jazz Father wouldn't have it any other way. This one's for the FOGs, fuckable old guys with a history. I'm a jazz father, they call me deadbeat, said I'm fucked up, but I never lost sleep, I gotta roll with it. The shit is getting deep, I never made a promise that I never would keep in my universe. It's gonna be quicker than you think when I rise up, and I'm standing on the brink of morality. I'll tell you what I think, it's not about the money, it's about getting another drink. Kick it, Hong Kong, real spill them if you got them, kick it, Hong Kong. Yeah, smoke them if you want them, kick it, Hong Kong. Put your hands on a bottle. If you got a boyfriend, you know you better call him. call. Miss Spillin' if you got 'em, kick it on call. Miss Hopin' if you want 'em, kick it on call. Put your hands on a bottle. If you got a boyfriend, you know you better call 'em. Another chance for your people's sake, so you just buckle down and eat the pussy that you ate. I gotta entertain myself these days. Yo, fuck that punk ass trumpet DJ. I keep it old school. The shit they call a new, I was kicking it in '70, so no, I thought you knew. Don't forget, young Jed, about what your daddy said. I wasn't even home because of the life that he led. So go and be elated about the shit you created, but I've been there and done that. Yo, we might be related. Punk ass motherfuckers doing what they can. I'm sending all you motherfuckers back to damn camp. Kick it on call. Yeah, spill 'em if you got 'em, kick it on call. Yeah, smoke 'em if you want 'em, kick it on call. Put your hands on a bottle. If you got a boyfriend, you know you better call 'em. Kick it on call. Yeah, spill 'em if you got 'em, kick it on call. Yeah, smoke 'em if you want 'em, kick it on call. Put your hands on a bottle. If you got a boyfriend, you know you better call 'em. Listen to me, everything you hear is old school. What can I tell you? Welcome to Hong Kong. Yeah, you motherfuckers clay is alright, I'm getting right as cramped from fucking all night with the new school. Yeah, you motherfuckers slick, I'm seeing more pussy than a dog sniffing shit for the old school. Like you motherfuckers created it, I'm flipping and tripping and ripping and digging the fuckers that be hating it. What's that make me? A deadbeat history. What's that make you? A punk ass wannabe. But life goes on without my past mistakes. I'll never get a chance for another rebate. So I wax prolific as I pontificate about the ass I done kicked and the pussy I done hit. I'm digging deeper. I get up early in the morning. One dream for the many, not the few is what I'm talking. Kick it on, call. Yeah, spill 'em if you got 'em, kick it on, call. Yeah, smoke 'em if you want 'em, kick it on, call. Put your hands on a bottle. If you got a boyfriend, you know you better call 'em. Kick it on, call. Yeah, spill 'em if you got 'em, kick it on, call. Yeah, smoke 'em if you want 'em, kick it on, call. Put your hands on a bottle. If you got a boyfriend, you know you better call 'em.
I like that. Wow. The jazz father. Go ahead, Mark. Mark Anderson. Okay.
Thank you.
So, sales and streaming. In the wake of the pandemic, physical sales, which represent a quarter of recorded music revenues, they're down by about one third, and that's unsurprising given the closure of retail stores, while digital sales have fallen around 11%. Evidence also shows that the way people listen to music is changing, also in light of coronavirus. Omega, how has the way that you listen to music and watch your entertainment, how has that changed for you recently?
Oh, wow. Good job, Mark. I like the old school. You brought it old school for me. I understood every word you said. So great song. And I'm excited for you because some of the stuff that I hear, I can't understand or make it out, but I got you. So thank you for that. Great song. For me, I am more of a, like Mark, I like YouTube. And I listen to a lot of videos and a lot of my music I listen to digitally anyway, so it hasn't necessarily affected me. I bought a car in 2019, and it didn't even have a CD player. It had a USB drive for you to connect
mm-hmm.
your phone to. So I think that more people, and being an educator and working in the school system with high school students, everything now to me is digital. A lot of people will go to live concerts. I'm not a, you know, I'm 50 now, so I don't really do a whole lot of concert settings unless it's a more intimate, you know, band that I'm going to listen to. So it really has not affected me greatly in the way that I listen to music. Now, I haven't mm-hmm. heard a whole lot of new stuff come out here lately, but I know that a lot of the artists, because they cannot tour to promote their albums, have kind of been reserved about, you know, producing new material, which has also, because my nephew, he's over Pokeway 863, has been doing a lot of what they call mixtapes. So that's
mm-hmm.
really becoming more hot, more popular, and hearing a lot more from you know, those general artists, new artists, up-and-coming artists that nobody don't really know about. So that's hot and popping right now. But for me, COVID-19 has not changed the way I personally listen to music, because I'm more of a streaming, online, YouTube kind of person.
Okay. What about you, Mark?
For me, it doesn't change, because I'm only going to really one source.
Mm-hmm.
what I hear about, and then go directly to YouTube to find it. So if somebody releases a new album, I'll hear about it on Facebook, or I'll see it in Yahoo or Google, and then I'll go
mm-hmm.
seek it out if I can find it. But of course, that's an old school way of doing it. The people these days, they don't do that. They're all streaming. You know, they'll pay $20 a month or whatever it is to get all the latest stuff and all the stuff. Get a wide variety
mm-hmm.
of stuff, and then Bluetooth it right up to their speakers. Play it at work. Play it in their car. Play it. They can listen to people that love music are listening to it all day at a pretty cheap rate. A friend of mine said, "Let me see your phone." And I say, "Yeah, man." And I come in, he goes, "Look, I just downloaded a Russian website that you got all the music in the world right now free." I said, "You did what?" Of course, after that, I was immediately hit with a virus, some hacking. I was like, "Oh, man, I can't even get on Yahoo for 5 seconds without the phone cutting off." I said, "Man, what the hell is that?" I deleted that right away. "No, man, it's your old school ass phone. You know, you need to get a new phone." "And man, what's the matter with you? You could grab my phone and then put a Russian website on it full of a treasure trove of hacks."
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, anyway, it's,
wow.
It's better now. But just watching people that really enjoy music, it's very, very inexpensive to listen to a lot of material, Latino material, hip-hop, old-school, heavy metal. You know, there's just, you know, R&B, country and Western, you know, old school.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting it basically, if not for free, quite cheap. But that's been going on, you know, since back in the day, since LimeWire came out. You know, so it's down to a science. Say again.
So with these digital downloads and with people being able to get music so inexpensively, now, what is your approach now to the making money from your music, selling your music?
It would be the same as everybody. You
mm-hmm.
Win those fans over person by person. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
how to say it. The idea is for your material to be so strong, so exotic, so provocative, so informative,
mm-hmm.
so entertaining that it's dynamite art. And then you present that visually so that you have people coming to your website that really want to join you, that want to hook up with you, and don't mind plunking down $20 for your record and a coffee mug, a cigarette lighter, and a T-shirt. That's what you do.
Okay. On the distribution side, there's a growing list of artists delaying releases to, later in the year, and this is partly due to an inability to use tours to promote new albums and live music in general. Do you have new music coming up? And then would you consider delaying the release of your music because of everything that's going on?
I would say it depends on you, what you're going. I would say generally not. That's more passive.
Mm-hmm.
You would probably want a more productive approach, a more proactive approach, and get your ass out there on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok with your material and your face and your subject matter, your agenda, your dialogue, and have people in there with you to come and check you out. So I would say, even if you can't go out and play, as you were talking about, all those digital sales, better go out there and get you some of that.
Omega, you wrote a book?
Absolutely.
Tell us about
Absolutely.
Your book, please.
Wrote it and released it during COVID-19. And
wow.
I just decided to, because confidence was down all around me with a lot of the ladies that I work with in the model and the pageantry industry. And I got with two ladies that competed in my pageant last year, and neither one of them were published authors, and I wanted to help them to become published authors, and we came up with Three Faces of Confidence. And the books are three different books. It's not a compilation. It's three individual books. My book is I Bring Me Confidently, and it's from the extroverted perspective of confidence. And then the second release will be this month, July 20th, and Confidence on a New Level by Geraldine Rogers, and it's from the ambivert perspective of confidence. And the final book to release August the 20th is The Power of Vulnerability by Breanne Pendleton, and it's from the introverted perspective of confidence, and it's just my confidence story. I wrote the book because I wanted people to know that there's different levels to confidence, even within each perspective, there's a different level to confidence, high, medium, and low, and I talk about that in my book. So it was just to give people some insight, some laughter, some hope, you know, some pick-me-up, and some good feelings. So I really have enjoyed not just writing the book, but actually promoting the book as well.
So you have to deal with distribution as well. You rely on people to go to the store and purchase your book. So,
or buy it online.
So I guess
yes, buy it online. They can buy it online.
Or buy it online. So you, so you're able to shift to that digital.
I was in the post office, and I was mailing out some books, and I sold one. And then a young lady reached out to me and said, hey, I bought your book on Kindle, but I would love to have a paperback copy. So she bought the book on Kindle as well as a paperback copy. So, I mean, it's just your promoting and how you promote your book. I mean, you know, you can't wait on your publisher or your editor or anybody else. You have to get out there. I have my own page on Facebook, my fan page on Facebook. Tomorrow at 5 p.m., I'm doing a virtual book signing where I will, if anybody purchases a book on tomorrow, I will sign it and mail it out to them, made out to whoever they want it to be made out. You just have to figure out a way how to monetize whatever project you're working on, be it an album, a book, or class, workshop, chat, whatever. Figure out how to monetize it and how to make money at it.
Wow. Congratulations, too. That is awesome. So, again, where are all those books available, please?
The book is available on Amazon.com. I Bring Me Confidently, because I want everybody to bring themselves to any situation, any circumstance, any trial or tribulation. Bring you confidently. So it's I Bring Me Confidently on Amazon.com, Lulu.com, Barnes & Noble. It is there. It's on my website, threeplacesofconfidence.com. It's on my Facebook page. You can find I Bring Me Confidently. You can find all of the links on that page. But the quickest way to get it is Lulu.com. That's paperback, Lulu, L-U-L-U.com. And put in I Bring Me Confidently. I pop up. Order your book. You'll get a paperback copy in 3 to 5 days. If you want it on your Kindle, it's Amazon.com, $9.99, and it comes right to your Kindle immediately.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that COVID-19, with all the bans and the restrictions, not being able allowed to work or get money, do you think that can affect people's self-esteem and confidence?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Number one, when you are quarantined, locked in, distancing, especially if you're a single person, it can be very lonely because you're not being able to get out and be around people. So it can affect your confidence. Now, it could also have the opposite effect. Like me, hey, I got a lot more time on my hands. I can't go somewhere because, like, for me, being in pageantry and in the fashion industry, I was literally somewhere every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And some weekends I was in two and three different events. So for me, it gave me time to kind of sit down, write it out, be productive, create. Not only have I written this book, the I Bring Me Confidently, I have a workbook coming as well as a teen edition of I Bring Me Confidently. So it has given me more confidence in the fact that I am able to sit down, hear myself think, and get some things done. But everybody is not.
Wow.
Everybody does not operate the way I do. So, yes, you can become depressed. You can become lonely. You can lose confidence because you don't have that contact, that person-to-person interaction and contact, which you let yourself go. You don't do your hair. You don't do your makeup. You don't get your nails done. You don't, and it messes with your confidence. It really does.
Mm-hmm. 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 What is it that makes you want to build this great, awesome platform for other women to shine?
You know what, Robin? I want to see every woman living a whole successful and productive life. I know that your passion and your love and your purpose may be extremely different from my passion, my love, and my purpose. So there's room at the top for all of us. So the platform that I created is because I want to see everyone living their best life. And people say, why do you care? Why not care? Why not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the second commandments is to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. And I will hope that someone will want to see me successful. So I want to see others successful. So me creating the platform that I have for women is because I have always been told, no, you can't do this and you can't do that. And that gives me the opportunity to prove those naysayers wrong. And if I can prove them wrong for me, I can help prove them wrong for other women as well.
Well, okay. We're going to take another break. We got another track from Mark Henderson's album, Thompson Key.
No dog, no life. No kids, no fun. I'm a jazz father. It's a jazz life. One horn, one man. Horns don't apologize. We all have our skeletons in the closet, son. Everyone who loves guns should own one. No dog, no life. I used to have a sexy housewife. A little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. It looks like Borat sunbathing. They say talent without grace invites darkness. Shit is scathing in its darkness. It's okay, we had a good run. Till you shot your girl and now you're done, son. I'm a child of the sun. No kids, no fun. I like dogs and kids. I love dogs and kids.
There's no place else I'd rather be. Come sit by me, honey. I like dogs and kids. I love dogs and kids. A man with friends will never be a failure. From here to Australia. When I was a kid, you'd write me letters. They never failed to make the day go better. And now it's my turn to take the opportunity to tell you just how much you mean to me. I hope you had a childhood like I did, with hot sunny days and a cold warm blanket. One day you'll wish to be in love like me, with the tragedy and the things I see. It's kind of hard and it's unconditional to feel a love and it's not reciprocal. Try to get to the roots of the situation. They say that's way too much information. But I've always been a child of the sun. I never quit and left things undone. Maybe on this day you'll understand what it's like to behold this man. I like dogs and kids. I love dogs and kids. This is the foreplay. It'll never become passé. I like dogs and kids. I love dogs and kids. What do you do when there's no way out? Digging deeper. Just hold hands, walk the dog a while. No Harlem shake and a smile, it's not like Gangnam Style. Any attempted resistance would be futile. You might have to change your tune. You're going up like an Egyptian hot air balloon. And seeking out high-value targets like pollution or gun control. It's disproportionate. And it's scary in the Amityville horror show. All worried about waste and the oil flow. Going together like horse and carriage. Pulling apart like a same-sex marriage. And all the time it's hurting like a hangover. I got lucky like a four-leaf clover. It ain't over till I say it's over. Get a dog named Rover, shit'll be a pushover. I like dogs and kids. I love dogs and kids. Love doesn't come in colors. You're either with us or against us. I like dogs and kids. I love dogs and kids. Once more into the fray I go. It'll be the last good fight that I'll ever know. It's like a Mexican with no tequila. Fox News rabble-rousing Tea Party spieler. Border Patrol is a conflagration. We're covering concealment for immigration. Drinking big gulps like it's super duper. Kissing more motherfuckers than Anderson Cooper. Sending out troops like a Syrian opposition group. More to the more, to the loop, to the loop. They're going after it like they're getting paid extra. Read all about it like a wannabe gangster. It's going off like a milk alert. Sugar body like a squirter while I watch it twerk. Love is a side deal of guilty pleasure. Double penetration with a cheerful treasure. How's your soul? Still black? Walking through hell, you can't backtrack. Necessity is the mother of invention. I got yellow fever long past redemption. Like a cruelty fee with austerity. I pay you and get no exemption. Once more into the fray I go, it'll be the last good fight that I'll ever know. I'm like a private defense contract, another day, another disaster. No harm, no foul, they say, while marginalizing your ass in every way. Everyone who loves guns should own one. Shoot your girl like this story is your done, son. It's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog shed light. Submission, redemption, guaranteed tax exemption on this recession. I like dogs and kids. I love dogs and kids. I'm a jazz father. It's a jazz life. I like dogs and kids. I love dogs and kids. One horn, one man. Horns don't apologize. I like dogs and kids. I love dogs and kids. I'm a child of the sun. No kids, no fun. I like dogs and kids. I love dogs and kids. Good luck without grace invites darkness. Talent without grace.
Wow, Mark, I cannot wait for that album to get out. Wow.
You.
In response.
And the next one. Oh, man, where that's got to go.
Yeah.
Working on that now.
Okay. Oh, awesome. Now, in response to immediate pressures, the industry has, they're taking steps to ease the impact of COVID-19. Many providers, they're setting up ways that allow consumers to donate directly to the funds of their choice. And other examples include interest-free advances on royalty payments in hardship cases, for example. The public is also responding by giving those stimulus checks and things like that. So what do you think about the stimulus checks and the government's attempt to, I guess, support the people during this time? Mark?
Well, who is it? Mayweather's corporation just got a relief check. Kanye West just got a relief check. Was that $7 million, $9 million? And they're going to use it.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I know Kanye's got a lot of employees. I don't know about Mayweather, you know. But there's been talk that certain, you know, cronyism and nepotism, certain companies got it that didn't need it, but they got it because they're in the loop. But for the guys in the street, the cab drivers and the burger flippers, hey, we're looking for another stimulus check, possibly next week. That would be most welcome. So the triple P, PPP, payroll protection program or plan, yeah, it's welcome, you know, as far as where the money's going to come from, because under this administration, it's up to what, $3 trillion in debt already in the past three years? It looks like our progeny, our descendants are going to be paying for this for a long time to come. But do we need the money? Is it good for the economy? Yeah, it is, and it goes back in. But what do they say? You know, this pandemic has killed 20% of small businesses that will never return again. What is it you guys are talking about? Omega, she's talking about her book that is increasing people's confidence and accept the blame for what you are and, you know, for what anything that happens to you. And I agree. You know, that's the first thing. My life is my responsibility. I like it. I like the plan, you know, of what she's doing, because that sets you up for the future. Those are hard lessons. But during this epidemic, how it's affected sales, how it's affected businesses, people, suicides are up. Even the first responders, the frontline workers, doctors and nurses, suicides are off the chain. You know, the other guys that, you know, sitting, you know, at home in the basement or something. Now, depression is up during this. When they reopened, everybody down here in crazy Florida went crazy, immediately swamped the bars and got smashed, and just sharing glasses, hugging, kissing, everything possible. So, you know, it's, this has had a big effect. And some people, we don't know how long that this is going to go on. This can go on for another year or so. So it's, you know, it's affected us, you know, emotionally, financially, and the way we socialize, the way we do things, we're not going to forget this for the rest of our lives. You know, there's the children coming up, you know, hey, you got to mask up now, 4-year-old kids, you know, toddlers, and that they know how to put on their mask and get out there, you know, and help mommy go shopping. So, yeah, this isn't going to go away. Hopefully, we'll be able to get back to some kind of normalcy. Whenever we can get 2 weeks in this country without a case of COVID, 340 million people, or 330, 350 million, however many we got here now, that we don't have one case for 2 weeks, okay, then everybody mask off, and let's hit the bar. Blues band back in, you know, every grunging, you know, what do you call it? Mosh pits back open in business. Until then, though, we're in semi lockdown. Back to phase one.
Hmm. Wow. So the new ways to engage with fans in the initial wake of the bands, mass gatherings, lots of venues that offered live streaming performances, but those formats have been suspended as those places are closed or no one's allowed to gather. Now artists are going direct to the fans from their own homes, and they're using services like Twitch, Instagram, TV, and others. Omega, I heard you say Zoom. Did I hear you say Zoom, that you're using Zoom earlier?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. I do.
So how is that working for you? Are people able to access you there easily?
If they have a Zoom app, they have to download the Zoom app. The beauty of it is a free app, and they can get to it. But there are a lot of paid streaming that is popping up for the different concerts. Like, I would sit a message from a young lady out in Houston that's doing a fashion show, and she's doing a virtual fashion show, and she's charging. Ticket ranges are from $5 and up. So you have to go and buy the ticket on Eventbrite in order to get the link to watch the fashion show. So people are going to figure out how to monetize their talents and their gifts. You know, it's just going to be up to you. I mean, there was no immediate, you know, people on YouTube, if you, like Mark said, if you had a following, you were good because you were able, if you got over a certain amount of 1,000 people that are following you on YouTube, you can get people to put commercials on your page and they make money, you make money. So if you can monetize it, then so be it. But there are going to be people finding ways to monetize what they're doing on a daily basis to keep from losing the money.
Okay. Wow. Now, if they're saying that with the streaming, with revenue coming from streaming, that they're encouraging, they're saying that you want to develop a relationship with the streaming providers, and are even a partnership, so that you can publish or you know, make your money, get your royalties. I don't know how I'm trying to say what I'm trying to say, but you
gotta realize that that's probably not gonna be a whole lot. And with the hackers and everybody else that's doing what they're doing, you know, you got to believe that somebody's gonna figure out a way to get into it for free. So, you know, or, you know, watch it as an aftermath or after fact.
Yeah. Of course, for new artists, they're going to be more susceptible to that. To artists that have already gone platinum, for artists that are already veterans, the first thing that they do is seek to do their own publishing, so that they recoup as much of their – they own the song, but they have to recoup it from around the world too. So what's the best way to get a relationship with the streaming company, with those corporations, with that conglomerate? Well, then to get a part of it, then to own half of it. Or 10% of that, you know.
Right.
So, because for new artists or even established artists, recording artists, the amount of money that they recoup from streaming is negligible. You know, you could have a million streams of your record and net, you know, a couple of $100. What, you know?
That's it.
You know, so they're really counting on physical sales and online sales and touring, you know. But the you can't uh, you have to have your finger in every piece of the pie to get a part of it. And there's, you know, streaming, people are buying it. But the artist, for an artist, that isn't 2 or 3% of his income, in to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
For the streaming corporations.
Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, let me finish. So the ones that the conglomerates are making money off the streaming, not the artists. The conglomerates are pocketing, you know, they're doing quite well with that. They're satisfied as hell with that. For an artist, no artist in his right mind is thinking about making $5,000 a month off of streaming royalties. If you're selling 10 million. You know, 10 million streams. You might get that. I don't. You know, might get 500 more like it.
Go ahead, Omega.
No, and streaming is just the artist on it, and I think that's why. I don't know if you guys heard about Chase Rice. He was the one that packed his concert here a couple of weeks ago with thousands of fans, and he got hit really hard. He lost a lot of his sponsors behind it. So you can believe that artists are not making money on streaming if they were willing to take that type of risk.
Wow. And D.L. Hewley collapsed on stage too. So, wow. Okay. So it's New Avenues. They said that this COVID-19 thingy bans. It can open up new avenues for the industry to work with other sectors. For example, gaming and TV. They integrate songs, compositions, and musical scores. You know, you remember, what is it, Curtis Mayfield and Quincy Jones, they both wrote a lot of the TV scores, a lot of the scores for the television shows in the late 60s and through the 70s. Yes. Okay.
Right. But look at those artists. You know, that would be like, you know, they're James Brown level artists. Those aren't new artists.
Yeah.
Those artists, you know, I mean, Quincy Jones has been producing in New York recording studios Petula Clark in 1959 or 1961. You know, that's what I mentioned earlier. To get into that part of the music industry, you're either already in there or you're never going to get in there. Remember, most new artists, be it rock and roll or hip-hop artists, can't even read music, you know, let alone write a score for Sanford and Son or, you know, the Jimmy Fallon show theme. You know, half the artists, half musicians in the world or singers or rappers can't even read music, let alone write it. So, that, you know, that's what I was saying earlier. For more experienced people that are classically trained musicians and jazz musicians, and people that have studied musical composition and they've wrote arrangements for big bands and other people in recording studios. You know that you can work your way in there, and that's a tough way to work in. It reminds me of a dude standing on Venice Beach. You know that's selling what do you call them, under the table Oakleys. Sunglasses, I got Ray-Bans, I got Oakleys, you know, for like $10 each.
No.
You know, knockoffs, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's where you got to stand outside the clubs where musicians play and say, hey, I got arrangements, you know, real cheap, you know. I heard that song. You guys ain't got no music for that, and that bridge is messed up. I can please set up for you for $20 and then put 4 hours of serious work into writing all the music. You know, for and of course the musicians will use you. I've done it before. I've used guys before that have got they write music quicker than hell. Say, hey man, I need an arrangement for Flight of the Bumblebee, for a jazz trio. You know, can you do it for $35? You got to write the piano part and the bass part and the drum part. Nah, man, make it $45. You know, that's a really skilled, that's a really high skilled kind of what is it, talent that you have to have, and you got to be able to produce. And that's, you know, Quincy could do that. Quincy, that's the way he hustled his way up, you know, to the top of session writing and recording and producing. That's a long, tough road. You know, bring your music degree with you.
Wow. So, Omega, tell us
I think
more
had a
about. Okay, go ahead.
I don't think she can hear you. Can you see his number on there?
Is it? Let me see. I see.
It ends at 1663.
Hello, caller. Go ahead. You have a question?
Yes. I'm an artist myself. I've been playing quite some time. I'm a guitarist. I also out of range and produce music as well. But also, the gentleman is right when he's speaking in terms of composers like Quincy Jones and, you know, Curtis Mayfield, those guys in the era that they came up in. Somewhere around the 60s and the 70s and on up, that were, you know, their name is well established. But at the same time, too, I'm not sure. But I don't know if James Brown could actually read music. But he was. But there are great artists that come up in the industry that done well that are just musical genius that did not know how to read.
Right.
In that era, but you know. But I do want to say it all depends on also what type of music that you're actually in, and especially, of course, learning how to read sheet music. It says the more you know, the further you go. That is quite true. Yes, most definitely. So I do agree with you 100% with that. But with hip hop and the way music's going now, it's all about beats, to tell you the truth, with this new age thing, you know. And they're making millions off it, you know. So.
Now, that's well said. Can I respond?
Yes, sir. Please do.
Yeah. Of course, if you go, it's like a boxer. It's like MMA fighting. You want to have a good ground game. You want your good jiu-jitsu skills, your good punching skills, your good kicking skills. You know, you want to be well-rounded. Because if you only have one game, you can only punch good. You know, your career may not go far. In jazz, they used to have a saying that jazz instrumentalists, horn players, that jazz musicians, the instrumentalists, they need to listen to singers more, and that singers need to listen to the horn players more. And I see this coming back around again, because rappers need to listen to jazz musicians more, and jazz musicians need to listen to rappers more. You know, for your own development. If not, you're in your own bubble. And it not only you could suffer artistically, your own self, erudition, your own self-elucidation, I forget the word, your own education, but also your pocketbook, because you're not flexible. To play with DJs and rappers, you can only play in a certain format, you know, a Latin jazz quartet or something like that, or a hotel lobby jazz crew. You see what I'm saying? That what you say, the more you know, the further you go. And I see that with a lot of hip hop artists. Couldn't tell you the difference between C major or C minor.
Absolutely.
You know, and a lot of jazz musicians couldn't recognize the difference between a Jay-Z or a Kanye if they heard them. You know, in a way, it's almost as bad. Ignorance is, you know, isn't blind.
It is what it is, right?
Omega.
Okay.
Yes, brother. Thank you very much for that input.
Likewise.
Omega. I am real interested to hear from you, hearing all of this back and forth in the music in business. How COVID-19, how that's impacting the music business, is that impacting your pageantry build business at all? Mm-hmm. Oh, we can't hear you. Come closer. You're real, sounds like you're far away. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, we can't hear you. All right, so Mark?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now I can. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, yes. I was saying that, Robin, yes, it does affect pageantry as well as the modeling. Every show we do, we have to compose, or for fashion shows, we have to compose the actual CD tape, USB for every designer. You know, so we have to have a DJ, same thing for pageantry, you know, and especially going to live performances, like I had a couple of ladies sing. I have a saxophone player, so it does affect me because my musicians that normally have agents of them are not going to get paid, so they lost money.
Uh huh. Okay. All right. And what words of encouragement would you offer to a woman in business who's not able to work or generate any income? What would you say to her right now?
Call me, 833-838-3868. Call me, because there's no reason why you shouldn't be making any money. I mean, as long as people have access to social media, your business should immediately have gone to social media. And because people are now social distancing, or, you know, you have to realize malls have literally closed down in Florida. Some malls have literally shut down completely. And more people are buying online and doing everything online. So there's no reason why a woman in business cannot be making money online. So, ladies, if you're not, you need to contact Auntie, the Enhance You Coach, and I will successfully enhance what you already possess.
Wow. So, Mark, what would you say to the artist out there that's right in the middle of a thriving music career? I mean, they're doing tours, they're making money, royalty payments, man, they're doing really good. And then, scratch, Corona says, go home, stay home. What would you say to somebody, to that artist?
Congratulations, because if you're packing people into, you know, live performances, and you're selling records that's platinum or half platinum, and you're selling merchandise, and you've got a name and you've got a platform, well, now's the time. You don't have to tour. There's still other things that you can do. Then you prepare for the next show. Then you work on your piano skills. Then you study other art forms. You know, you become, there's other time for self-edification and study. Because it's becoming a recording artist, other things suffer. The more music you write, can you hear me?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay, thank you. Whatever you do, If your songwriting is going well, and your music, your recording career is going well, then as a guitar player, generally your chops will go down. You know, so what you when in downtime, mm-hmm. there's always stuff. It's like in the restaurant business. There's always work to do in a restaurant. You got to clean underneath the fat fryers. You know what I'm saying? As a musician, as a recording artist, no, there's always plenty of work to do with, you know, with your individual musical skill, with your trumpet chops, with your piano chops. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of with all the other artists that you have to study to stay current. There's all kinds of things that you're, there's always more work to be done. So yeah, that's what I would say. Get back to the woodshed, because I know a lot of artists take this time for this downtime. They increase practice from 4 hours a day to 8.
Mhm. Wow. Omega, where can we find you in social media?
I am on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. I am YouTube. Website is, let me give you some. Website, www.wblep.com or www.3facesofconfidence.com. You can find me there, pageantry, and for my book, I Bring Me Confidently, Women in Business Online Pageant, online on Facebook, on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. So I am on social media. If you type in Auntie, A-U-N-T-I-E, you will find me.
And Mark, where can we find you on social media?
Is that directed to me?
Yeah, Mark.
Okay. Yeah. Mark Henderson, I'm on Facebook. I'm a trumpet player. We got a club of Mark Hendersons around the world. It's like 600 of us on Facebook. So, you know, it'd take you a second to find me. But I'd tell, because I spent most of my career in Asia. So if you type into like YouTube or Facebook, Mark Henderson, and then the city, Hong Kong, Mark Henderson, Hong Kong, you can get me up. I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook, and I got videos on YouTube. And I believe my website, www.jazzfather.com, is still up and running. I got some jazz videos on there, too.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you both for coming on the show today and giving your insight on COVID-19. Wow. I'm looking forward to – I'm going to win that pageant, Omega. I'm going to win it. Okay.
Come on. I tell you, it's a lot of fun. It's definitely a lot of fun and a lot of growth as well. Fun and growth.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank you both for coming on and keeping the vibes live. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Vibes Live Exclusives. Take care, y'all.
When my life has come to grief, there's an ace that I can keep. There is my Father's love watching over me. Never thought I'd see the day, on my knees I'd have to pray. Think of my Father's love and the things he'd say. There are some mistakes that you may make, but they won't change the way that I feel today. Love you anyway. So wherever you may go and whatever you may do, there is one thing you should know, that my heart will always be there too. Doesn't matter what you'll be, you'll be always in my dreams. So remember some of these things, that when darkness has become and the music has begun, when all is said and done, how I love my son. So wherever you may go and whatever you may do, that when all is said and done, how this Father loves his Son.
gathering.
Play on, player. Play on, player. Play on. Chico, drop the verse.
We on lockdown, good Lord. And restaurants closed all over town. Uncle Andy don't play around. Even Waffle House got the grill shut down. Say bye to your birthday. Everything downtown closed anyway. The curfew starts at 9.
Wow.
And don't open up till 5.
Wow, wow.
Y'all won't social distance. Having Rona parties all of y'all ignorant. That breath might be your last. Now you got a mask. Rona said no, that's your ass. And COVID ain't average. Tougher than a Jimmy John sandwich. I'm hoping all of y'all stay in. Don't hang with friends. I know we can win, but first you got the social distance.
No gathering.
You got to back it up.
Back it up.
You got the social distance.
No gathering.
You got to back it up.
Back it up, girl.
You got the social distance.
No gathering.
You got to back it up.
Back it up.
You got the social distance.
No gathering.
You got to back it up.